from MLU headquarters in Philadelphia. This is Cleats and Cufflinks.
Welcome to another episode of Cleats and Cufflinks. I'm here, as always, with Mr. Dusty Rhodes, fresh off the first weekend of the MLU 2016 season. How you doing, Dusty?
I can't necessarily say that I'm fresh off of the season. I'm, as we discussed earlier today, I'm more like a day-old Dusty.
Day-old Dusty,
yeah. A little rough around the edges.
Yep, slightly stale.
Yeah, I've been up here in Philadelphia trying to get everything done for next week, help with game prep and all the scripts and all of that sort of broadcastery stuff.
Yeah, we have you much more integrated this year than we've had in the past. It's kind of great. We get you up here 2 days a week in the office.
Yeah. Well, at least during the season.
Before the season,
you were lucky to have me not so frequently.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll get tired of you soon, and then the season it's going to work out really well.
Time it.
Yeah. So, you know, before we get started, obviously we got to give a shout out to our new favorite sponsor, well, new as of last week. we have, of course, Heavy Seas Brewing Company down in Baltimore. It's providing us with some sustenance during our our conversation here. Delicious beverage.
And this is the Pounder Pils that we had last weekend, which I was, again, not that I dislike Heavy Seas or Pilsners generally. It's just I don't generally trust American Pilsners for the most part.
Right.
So I'm a little hesitant with that. But this one has a nice fruity nose to it. It's got a nice little biscuity aftertaste. It's a very good Pils.
I think it's excellent. Yeah. I'm putting it in my echelon of American Pilsners. It's going in there with Prima Pils from Victory, of course.
That's the one I would list
Pivo
right away.
Pivo Pils from Firestone Walker.
Which is the one that I don't like as much.
Stout's Pilsner is probably the most famous one. But I think this one sits very, very nicely in that group. It's very, very good, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, so we'll give you the little read here from the side again.
Yeah, let's
named for the weight of their shot, the most common naval cannons were called six-pounders. At Heavy Seas, that means a six-pack of crisp, clean Pounder Pils. And since it's another UEFA Champions League day, it's appropriate to have a Pilsner or some other light drinking beer that you can watch the footy with.
I drink a lot of Pilsners now compared to what I used to when I was younger. You know, all the big beers, all that exciting stuff. They're kind of like, it's like a good high quality dad beer.
Yeah.
You know,
to make sure you're not getting too crazy.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You know, and we'll also, of course, as we collect ourselves here, we'll send our reminder. Enjoy your Pounder Pilsner from Heavy Seas responsibly, as we are today. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the weekend we just had.
Oh, please.
Let's talk about what happened there. Cheers.
We got through it.
We made
That's
it.
The first
we survived
step.
It, yeah. So we had five games this weekend, which I can tell you from a production standpoint was exciting.
Yeah.
As everyone knows from our conversation last time, if you weren't here and don't know, we've moved into a methodology where we're live streaming all of our games.
Yeah.
This is... I think sometimes people, even internally, underestimate the challenges involved in that.
I certainly did.
You know, bandwidth, you know, you have all, you know, we have all sorts of concerns. Personnel, we do it with a very, very tight crew, a very small crew. And getting all of those pieces in place leading up to the games was tough. And then it was just kind of like cross your fingers and hope that it all works. Because until you do it, it's hard to test, basically.
Right,
you can test all the elements. But getting it all to happen at once. And frankly, it went very well. all the games went live. There, you know, there were some glitches here or there. We had a little stoppage. We had a little bit of trouble when we were streaming multiple streams to the same YouTube channel, which we figured out now. You know, and then quality varied based on the quality of the signal that we were getting. So some were a little bit grainier than others. But by and large, you could watch your team play in a way that we've never been able to completely do before.
And we were watching those games leading up to this. I can't remember which game we were watching. We were watching the New York Philadelphia game, I believe.
Yep.
Leading up to the game that I called on Saturday night, which was another exciting Boston versus DC battle, where DC came out to this roaring start at the beginning and just took control of the game. And then it looked like Boston had nothing in them for the first three quarters.
They looked so flat.
And then it just, like, there was a moment where they started to believe again, and then you could tell that their sidelines were different than they were earlier in the game.
Yeah.
So they had that trust that they were going to get those breaks back, and then it all came at once. All of the bunches of bananas, you know?
It was a huge comeback. It was the kind of comeback that we haven't seen before, and that a lot of people doubted could actually happen in an MLU style game. But well, they were 5 points down at one point, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, partially it was related to the weather and all of that, because it was a little, it was windy, it was quite cold, and just the way that you play Frisbee in those environments, it changes the sport a little bit. So it makes comebacks a little bit more possible, because mm-hmm. it increases mm-hmm. the baseline level of number of turnovers, but it does that for both teams. So just because you get a short turnover or you get an opportunity doesn't mean that your opportunity isn't also going to be blown off the field by the wind. We saw the Skippy signs.
Blowing away.
We had to go get them and bring
chase
them back.
Down the Skippy peanut butter signs.
You can't play Ultimate without peanut butter.
You cannot play Ultimate without peanut butter. Yeah, I mean, you're right. The weather does make those comebacks maybe a little bit more possible. So does a fired up Christian Foster.
Yes.
That also helps if you have one of those around.
It helps to have him pull in all those midfield pulls, too.
So good at it.
It's a really interesting throw that he uses on those midfield pulls. He throws like a backhand blade, sort of sets it out on a straight path almost, directly over the heads of the players who are there to receive it, and you've got a 20-yard window behind them to get it into. And he gets it there fast enough that they don't have a chance to field it. A lot of the other pullers will try to launch it way up into the air or throw like a hard roller that you're kind of afraid to catch. Yep. But you have an opportunity to. Yeah. You have an opportunity to stop it. But those, he just keeps putting them in the back 5 yards or so of the end zone, and they roll out, and then the other team's stuck.
He rips it.
Yeah.
Do you remember last year's championship game? He hit Tridiak.
Right in the chest.
Did you see the bruise he had?
Just kind of fell backwards.
A massive bruise, knocked him right over. That was amazing. Yeah, so we had an incredible game, Boston, D.C. You should watch that game if you haven't watched it. It is available on YouTube and on our website. You can also watch the New York Philly game. Not a really close game, but I think it's worth seeing what New York is trying to do. They're a very young team, very new playing together, but I found them very entertaining to watch. Particularly their defensive lines were acrobatic.
They were creating opportunities for blocks. Sometimes they got them, sometimes they didn't. But they didn't fold in this game. They didn't give up
and
like sort of creep back into their shells, so to speak, as if Rumble have shells.
Yeah, I don't know the
Rumble. It was confusing Rumble with Terrapins. I'm not really sure. but it was tough to get too
The New York Terrapins.
tough to get too much of a read on them.
Yeah.
Because you could only see what they were setting up. They were doing just simple execution errors, like throwing behind receivers, throwing to the ground, not completing your first pass on pull plays. It was really sort of it's a start, and we'll get to see what they do in the future as we go forward. But
I predict they're going to build into the season. I think that, you know, due to their youth, I think we're going to see them improve week on week. And, you know, hopefully they can do it quickly enough to have some relevance as the season continues. Terrible weather at that game, though, as well. Terrible weather everywhere on the East Coast. On the West Coast, San Francisco played Vancouver. San Francisco looking good, I think. And that was awful weather. I mean, just torrential downpour.
They looked soaked.
They were
sad, wet cats. Soaked.
My favorite picture from that game, though, a promotion that they did leading in, where people got to vote on which player should get a pie in the face. Which, I'm telling you, so some of the stuff that our event coordinators do is amazing. And it reminds me of like old, what's the basketball? The ABA kind of like
the three-pointers, the different basketball.
And then all the fun little games and stuff that they do around it. Like also minor league baseball does a lot of this stuff. And so they do this stuff. But so I think it was Sheridan that ended up getting the pie in the face. And he's a man with a lot of facial hair.
Which means that pie just kind of
stays. Pie is just glomming up. He's lucky it was raining so much. It
hasn't happened to me yet. I try to avoid pies to the face.
It's not
a slapstick cartoon, so I don't walk into it.
Yeah, I feel like if I ever get a pie to the face, then it's an anvil to the head next. I'm not ready to go down that path.
I'll give you a hint. Do not chase the Roadrunner.
Do not chase the Roadrunner.
It's a bad sign.
And then the last game, of course, was up in Portland, where we saw Portland and Seattle play. And Portland looks like the kind of dominant team they looked like last year.
Yeah.
And Seattle, you know, no doubt is going to be a very good team. But Portland came out on top on that one. Apparently a very well-attended game out there. They were the only place with nice weather this week.
So, well, I would say that the game on Saturday, actually had, Sunday, the game on Sunday, the Philadelphia versus...
wasn't bad. It was a little cold, particularly in the beginning, but...
I'll tell you, it was frigid in the booth because we were in the shade.
Yeah.
And it seemed to be about 15 degrees difference, at least the way it felt on your skin.
No, it was
cold. If you were outside of the shade versus in.
I was happy
that I had all the bundled gear that I had from the day before, wear my nice warm overcoat, get a nice knit hat on.
Yeah. I got my first sunburn.
See a little bit of the after effects of that.
Exactly. Yeah, it's starting to peel a little bit.
Got to keep in mind that you don't just need shade. You need a canopy.
Yeah, I need several floors of a building above me. I can get sunburned if I'm in a one-story house.
This is the perfect office for you. You're set.
I'm in the basement. It's perfect. My people aren't made for the sun.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, what are you going to do? The big news from that game, there were some amazing plays this weekend all across the board. Saw some great plays. We talked about Christian Foster, his block at the end of the DC game. Khalif Aslam had an incredible catch.
Second effort catch where he tipped it.
Yep, and then a classic Aslam celebration.
Speaking of celebrations, we're going to get to a celebration here in a moment when we talk about this greatest.
We are going to get to a celebration in a moment. So the play... this is the end of the second quarter, I believe.
Yeah, end of the first half.
End of the first half. Philly gets the disc with, probably about 15 seconds on the clock. Works it around a little bit till it ends up in Billy Sickles' hands. He makes what is not a good throw. which Luke Ryan will be very happy to hear us talk about how this is not a good throw.
In layman's terms, a bad throw.
A bad throw. Behind every great play.
That's what I was going to say. Throw. Without that bad throw, none of this would have happened.
So basically, the disc is floating out toward the sideline. Time is ticking off the clock. Nick Hironet runs over, sort of catches it, and throws what has become known on the internet as a chicken wing greatest.
One of these.
Yeah, sort of. I used to call that a raptor. I think that's an upstate New York thing.
Yeah, I've never heard raptors to call. I've heard raptor. Chicken wing before.
You've heard chicken wing before, so it's apparently we're behind. Hironet was not happy to have that called a chicken wing, particularly when it was a... Well, we'll get to where else it was called that. So he throws that down to the end zone, and the buzzer goes off. And it's funny, because the broadcast clock is not synced electronically with the game clock.
Yeah.
So... the broadcast clock was actually like a second or two ahead of the game clock, so it goes to zero before he throws it. So from somebody watching the game and seeing that clock, they might be confused by that.
Yeah.
But you can actually hear the buzzer go off. It's like this weird whistling sound. This stupid buzzer. Sorry, Jordan Academy, it just is. It goes off just after he releases it. And then the disc goes down. It gets tipped by...
Hirschberger.
And gets then, a fingertips on it.
Well, there's a Philadelphia player who you can't tell if he actually gets his fingers on it when he leaps up to catch it. And then Hirschberger kind of like slaps down at it, and he hits the back edge of the disc, which actually causes it to tip up. And then it bounces off of Dustin Damiano.
Yeah, it hits Damiano right in the chest.
Who has been following this play perfectly. Like he read the greatest, was going to exactly the right spot. And then Hirschberger just kind of jumps in front of him, slaps down on it, and then he kind of defends himself from the disc. And this is the point where, on the sideline, there are people like looking away from the field because they think it's done.
Groaning. There's a classic shot in the third replay where who is it on Boston with the mustache? Why am I losing his name? Hooker?
I'm not sure who you're talking about.
I can't remember.
You can't really see the facial hair from the booth.
There's a classic moment where he turns and it's Hooker. Yeah, just Greg, the producer, tells me I was right. It is Hooker. He turns away thinking that it's a block and has this like
look
on
moment.
His face. Which, by the way, because this play goes so viral, he ends up getting made fun of a lot in Philadelphia's Reddit. Because we made the top of Reddit in Philadelphia with the play. And they make fun of his reaction because Philly sports
Well, fans. But if they're making fun of people's reactions, they got to get in on you on the sideline reacting, covering your eyes as well, I hope.
Let's take this play to its conclusion before we get there. So... it bounces off of Dustin Damiano's chest. It macks off his chest, which is why he now wants us to call him Mac Daddy, which I'm not sure we're going to agree to. And then out of nowhere, the player of the game...
Easily
comes flying in. He runs like a Impala.
Long strides, powerful, on the open plains.
Yeah. you know, and he dives, toes the line, gets basically like a knee and a foot kind of drag as he catches the disc, and goes flying out the back of the end zone. But it ends up being
a goal,
an incredible goal.
And that's what it is. It's just a goal. It's an assist from Nick Hironet to Himalaya Mehta.
Yeah,
So
I was sitting next
to the
stats guys.
That's how you mark it in the stats.
I was sitting up next to the stats guys, and they're like, yeah, we don't know how to make this exciting in stats. It's literally just
well, so this is one of the things that ideally you would track in stats is that anytime the disc contacts something, whether it's a player or the ground or the goalpost or anything, you just track touches, things that the disc touches. So you would track all the numbers of the people that it bounces off of and all of that. But that adds
layers. And I think
layers.
You kind of have to, because we allow max as a legal thing that you can do.
Yeah.
So you'd have to, a way to capture that would be important. And, these are things that we work on, we develop.
Step by step.
We learn.
Yeah.
We learn.
So that was actually Himalaya's second catch on a tipped disc. He had previously, just minutes before that, caught a point block. Mike Pano was point blocked on the sideline, and then Himalaya swoops in and catches that after it's gone off the defender. And he got a deep block earlier in the game. He had a fantastic game.
He was all over the place this game. So anyway, the play happens. And yes, if you watch the video of this play, in the foreground,
see a couple
towards
gentlemen
the bottom, you can see a couple gentlemen
blazers
in
or sport coats or something
MLU
along those lines.
Jackets, I think, by the way. And it was that's me and Jonathan McQueen who are standing down on the sidelines. And our reactions are entertaining, I would say.
At the very least. So his reaction was so severe that he managed to miss
he
the end of the actual
catch.
Play. He had reacted to like the first three things that happened during that play and turned away.
It was hard not to. I feel like a lot of the audience did. It took a while. The
it
crowd
happened,
went crazy when they finally figured out what the hell happened.
It happened in the booth, too. We were talking about the D that had just... We were trying to talk about the D or the throw, and then suddenly there was another person catching the Frisbee.
It was unbelievable.
So he was all the way out of the screen before he ran in and got that tip in the back. So we didn't even see him coming. We just saw that the disc was floating up there. It seemed like a mighty long time for a disc that had been hit that many times.
It hung up for way too long. part of the weather conditions, I think, that makes that sort of thing happen. Anyway, the big thing about this play is we submit it. I send it off to my contacts at SportsCenter. I get a message back like an hour later that's like, keep an eye on SportsCenter tonight. I'm like, all right, I'm going to be on SportsCenter. That's exciting, right? So we end up making number one on SportsCenter on Monday night.
Yep.
And then I think it dropped to number two through the day on Tuesday, which happens a lot as they adjust things. So great. You know, we're on SportsCenter. Love being on SportsCenter.
And this is the part that confuses me a little bit. Because from my perspective, I kind of pay attention to SportsCenter, and I kind of catch some highlights here and there. I really like catching Friday when they do the Not Top 10, because that's comedy gold.
We've been trying to get on that.
So I have no concept of what it means to actually, for the league and for the players and for the brand that you're building and all of that. Like, I don't know what it means to get on SportsCenter.
So I think there's a couple of things there. From a player's perspective, you know, I got a nice note from Nick Hironet the next day, you know, thanking everybody here for the hard work we put in the league, all that stuff. And, you know, this is like a childhood dream. Like, you just made SportsCenter. It's amazing. You know, so he was very excited. So I think it's pretty meaningful to the players. I know I'd be pretty excited to be on there and to hear the guys talk about it. It's always fun to hear the commentators talk about it in the different ways they choose. I think they made a reference to Himalaya's name and not needing a Sherpa to get to the disc.
I was going
to
say, as an individual who's been called Dusty Rhodes his whole life, I'm familiar with the puns and jokes that come up when there's a unique name.
Yeah,
I would
expect
nothing less.
Yeah, so they definitely made use of that. So that's one thing. I think it's big for the players, and I think it's awesome. I think from the league perspective, for our brand, it's big. We get a lot of contacts based on that. Like, people will call or send us emails. Who haven't heard of the sport or don't know about us yet, right? It's a way to reach a bunch of people we can't otherwise reach.
Right.
But it's small and it's short. It's just a moment, right? The bigger thing is when what happens this time happens. So we get a lot of clips on through a year. We'll get maybe 10 clips on SportsCenter, 8 clips on SportsCenter.
And I can remember some of the ones that have been on there in the past. I can picture
it. And a lot of them are just on.
Yeah.
People notice them. They get talked about online a little bit, and then it kind of goes away. A clip like this kind of incredible play, it hit a tipping point. And when they hit this tipping point, that's when it becomes an opportunity for the league to really grow the brand, grow our reach, and reach a much broader audience. And that's what happened this time. I mean, this has been insane, essentially. Like, because the great thing about big news outlets is they ask you before they use anything. Yeah. So we know.
So you're aware of this. Yeah.
So CBS Sports contacts us, NBC Sports contacts us, Sports Illustrated contacts us, and all of them are picking up this clip and putting it on. It's showing up everywhere. A rough estimate from earlier from our social media guy is like, it's been watched at least 10 million times. He's like, if French news outlets have picked it up, you know, Canadian news outlets have picked it up. It's just...
Oh, the whole Francophone world is what
you're
saying.
The whole Francophone world has picked it up. But it's gone to a point where now it's got kind of this life of its own. And everybody's grabbing onto it.
So this is one of those things that happens when we talk about content and media and all of that. You're getting into situations where Ultimate isn't the only thing on the menu. Like you're seeing this clip both in SportsCenter where you're around other sports, and you're seeing it in all these other contexts where it's just a clip that people are sharing with their friends, or it's a clip that is getting pushed around that way. It's, as you say, it's a way to get into people who don't necessarily have Ultimate in front of them all the time like we do, like Ultimate on the brain. I'm still dealing with that. It's a medical condition. Ultimate on the
Ultimate
brain.
On the brain.
It's like water on the knee.
Yeah, you got to get that looked at. That can lead you to some bad places.
We'll be careful.
Next thing you know, you'll be podcasting about it.
Well, we wouldn't want to start that anytime soon.
No.
Generally, this is about not Ultimate.
Yeah. This is a basketball podcast. We talk about that in the past. No, but you're absolutely right. And that's the point, I think, of the SportsCenter thing. It's why we put effort into putting these plays on there. Because... A, it's an opportunity to send Ultimate out into people's lives who wouldn't know about it or wouldn't see it normally. And it's also the spark that, if it hits right, catches a kind of fire. And we get this thing. I mean, Garrett, who's our social media guy, his phone just kept crashing because of all of the notifications of new followers he was getting on Instagram.
Wow.
It was just knocking his phone out.
The Instagram.
It's so heavy. It's just thousands and thousands of new followers just flowing in. And, you know, that's the other thing about it, is that this play is fantastic. It's one of the craziest plays I've ever seen. But what people realize is that Ultimate plays in general are really cool looking. And once they see that play and get that introduction and they go look through our other stuff, they're like, oh my God, this is fun.
This is one of the things that happens.
And even people that wouldn't necessarily go watch a whole Ultimate game will watch a bunch of clips of really cool Ultimate plays because they're really cool Ultimate plays.
That's sort of the thing that happens with lots of sports. That's one of the reasons that the NBA is really, and basketball in general, is really fan-friendly and video-shareable, because 7 seconds can encapsulate most basketball plays, especially highlights.
Yeah.
And Ultimate has that same thing, where you can catch, like, the guy throws the disc, the receiver catches, like, you get that lead-up to the play, so you get that automatic introduction. So it's easy to watch a lot of clips for Ultimate. The problem for me is that clips don't mean much to me. I have no context. I'm that guy. I'm the guy who needs
the whole
game.
Shape.
Right. I don't even like watching the red zone for the NFL because I have no context for what's happening in these games.
Yeah.
I like watching the whole game.
No, I mean, I can understand that point of view for sure. And
I understand that I'm the weirdo.
But we want that too. So the goal is, like, you get people, you know, the taste for the game, and then you get them to come out to a game, you know, or you get them to sit down and watch a game. And once you can do that, you know, then you can start turning them into fans. And it's diminishing returns. You know, you have 10 million people that watch the clip, and then you have a percentage of those that will watch another clip, and then you have a percentage of those that will watch a game, and you have a percentage of those that will buy a ticket. You know,
but
that percentage is... That's where you make your money.
It's more than zero.
It's important. Right? It's more than zero.
And the other thing is that you just raise awareness of Ultimate. And this is something that's happened a lot over the last... 5 or 6 or 7 years or so, is that people are just more and more aware that Ultimate exists.
Yeah.
And they don't ask that question of, where are the dogs? What are you throwing at?
Right.
They know what the sport is.
They generally know what it is. And that's huge for us too, because we realize that, you know, both our need as a business, but also our responsibility, is not just to our Ultimate, but to Ultimate in general.
Yeah.
Like we need to grow that entire brand in general, so that more people will play it, more schools will add it as varsity programs, more colleges will start supporting it. And in the end, we end up with better players, a better product, and all the things that we want out of it. And, you know, it's SportsCenter is just one piece of that. And credit goes to the production team, too. I mean, this, you know, these plays can happen at any game at any time. And that's why it's so vitally necessary for us to cover every game.
Yeah.
And, you know, the amount of energy, money, talent that we've invested in doing that gets justified at these moments. And that's why, you know, that's one of the important things. Like, we can justify the effort through the views, through the return we get on it, you know, and through the kind of sponsorship relationships and other partnerships we're able to develop based on that. So...
as always.
So the short answer is the ESPN stuff is awesome. Yeah. And we keep doing that.
And as always, another big shout to the production crew for catching it. They do so much work behind the scenes that it's just beyond my comprehension.
It's crazy.
I get to deal with the fruits of their labor by being on the broadcast and you know, talking about the things that we can see on the broadcast and all of that. So, you know, another big shout. Caught it on camera.
Credit.
They caught all the different pieces.
They caught all the pieces. And thank God they did. That leads me to talk a little bit about media relations in general. You know, we do a lot of work here, obviously capturing, right? So capture video.
Yeah.
We capture statistics. We capture, you know, the story of the game through things like our rapid reactions and our recap articles. And right now, the MLU is its own biggest news organization, I guess.
Right.
We are the reporters of our own product in most ways. But there are other people who cover it.
Right.
You know, UltiWorld does coverage, Skyd covers things, Sludge.
Right. Love, one of my favorites.
Oh, Sludge is great. What's the name of his... It's the Sludge...
Sludge Output?
Sludge Output, thank you. Sludge Output. Yeah, you should follow him on... or them,
or the collective,
the mystery. You should follow Sludge on Twitter. So look that up. But they do, you know, they do a nice job doing it. But the problem is that these organizations are much like the rest of the professional things built around Ultimate, relatively young, and they're not staffed to the point of, you know, a big paper or even a big blog. So they can't send a reporter to every game. They can't send a photographer to every game. And so a lot of what I've been thinking about over the years, and what we've really gotten to a point of being able to do, is how do we facilitate writing about Ultimate? Yes. What are the pieces people need to write and talk about it intelligently?
And this is near and dear to my own heart as someone who has written about Ultimate for quite some time. The best thing that you can do for somebody who wants to write about it is put the stuff in front of them. Just be like, here, write about this. Here are the stats. Here's the report of the game. Here's what we've got. What would you like to talk about? Can we help you with any more information? Yeah. The fact that you can go back and track all the stats, the fact that you can go back and look at the games, the fact that all of that's available puts writers in a spot where they're free to write about what they want to and what they're interested in. And they don't have to do the legwork of just gathering the data. You take that step out and you're one step closer to having an article written.
That's the kind of mentality that we've approached it with. And, you know, so Monday I sent out our first real, like, media package. And by the way, anybody out there who wants to write about Ultimate and wants to get on this list, it's, you know, I'm happy to add people to our media list.
I'm going to get on that list myself.
Yeah, you might want to get on this. So basically, it's a package that has the rapid reactions from each game with a box score, an image of the box score that can be used and dropped into an article, links to the full statistics for the game, links to the game itself, and also a package of photography from one of the great,
great
partners at UltiPhotos. UltiPhoto has been fantastic for us.
Takes so many pictures.
So many pictures.
I'm always amazed.
We have the most pictures of all time. I look back at my entire time playing. I think I have like 3 pictures.
Well, right. I would have expected there to be a couple more pictures of you doing some things here and there athletically.
It's
even the pictures of me playing Frisbee tend to be just a guy standing who has just released the disc or has just caught the disc.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't. It didn't really do anything exciting.
Yep.
Waving my arms around on the mark. Woo-hoo. This is my impressive mark.
My best picture of me playing Ultimate is the most improbable picture. I'm throwing an upfield backhand, which I'm not sure ever actually happened.
Are you sure it's not
a
forehand? Just reversed? Oh, wait, that's not how it works.
Totally works out. But yeah, all the vote has been amazing. And so we packaged that all up and we sent it out. Yep. And now people have everything they would need to write a basic report of the game. And as we develop this and as we progress, we'll have conversations with anyone who's on this list and who's writing and be able to add in the other types of things that they
What else are you interested in? What tale do you want to tell about Ultimate? How can we help you talk about it that way?
Exactly. And then hopefully through doing that and through professionalizing the way that we deliver our product to the press, we can add non-Ultimate specific journalists to that list as well and start to get people to understand that, like, this isn't just some game that's going on under the surface. They can start reporting on it and they can create the context and the narrative that you value so much around the clips that they're going to be showing that are just incredible.
Right. And it's the thing that I always want in Ultimate is I want more people to write about it. I want more people to be in the conversation. I want more people to be podcasting. Like, I just want more of it to happen, because the part of the discussion that I like isn't the part where you state your opinions. It's the part where someone else states their opinions back and then you argue about it or discuss it. Or even, you know, get up in arms about it if it's that important to you. It's this thing where you get the back and forth. And encouraging more voices to say more things about Ultimate is what's going to lead us into a place where we have a more robust conversation about the whole thing. Somebody, more people to challenge the dumb stuff I say. And I'll get to challenge more dumb stuff that other people say. That's the glory of it for me.
Conversation and engagement, like just building up the way that people are interacting around the sport.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we're still young at that. We're still kind of at this kind of surface level, but there's an opportunity as the material becomes available to be able to actually cover the whole thing. You know? Yeah, obviously, Ultimate itself is much bigger than the MLU. There's all this other Ultimate going on, and, you know, we'd love to see more coverage of that as well, obviously. But the part we can control, if we can give the full depth of it to people and we can let somebody cover it comprehensively,
yeah,
then I think we've taken a big step. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, so we're just covering all of media.
We're done with that. Okay, we have to come back to that. Well, we're running low on time now. We got a big weekend ahead of us.
Yes.
We're going to be, both of us are going to be down for the DC. New York game? DC?
I believe it's New York.
No, Boston.
Wrong. No.
New York. Oh, wow. Philly. DC and Philly. New York and Boston. Sorry.
You're right. We're still dealing with...
Still trying to get off last weekend.
It's all at once.
So Philadelphia's going down to DC. We're going to both be in DC for that game.
I knew some team would be visiting me down in DC.
Boston is going to New York. We're going to have that game down there. Portland plays two games this weekend.
And that's one of the telling things that's going to happen all season. Is
Seattle
every team,
and then Vancouver, I believe?
Vancouver and Seattle. So every team that's dealing with two games on a weekend, that's the team to watch that weekend. Not just for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, where you get definitely for play, fantasy purposes.
But for how the standings shake out and how teams are dealing with, you know, back-to-backs. It's just a different environment for the players and the coaches and all of that.
Absolutely. That it's going to be a lot of fun to watch and see how Portland gets through that.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we're wearing a DC more cowbell shirt today.
Yeah, this new shirt.
This is in part because I heckled their cowbells one of the first years that I was doing announcing. Because I was like, what, you guys can't get regular size cowbells? You got to go with the mini cowbells. So, you know, I wanted to show some respect to the cowbell, because one of the things that I do like about all the DC games is when the fans start getting all cowbell mad, when DC starts getting breaks on breaks, because that's like the exciting part of the game for just about everybody, is when you start
piling them down.
Yeah. So I really like it when the cowbells come out. That's a sign that... at least one of the teams is heavily involved, heavily invested. We're getting something out of it.
I just like it that you're featuring some of our gear.
Some of the stuff that's for sale is that. Yeah, you can't really buy the shirts from me.
Yeah,
not selling my Ultimate collection.
Not yet. Yeah, this is available at the game, but also will be, if it's not already, in the online store. So
there's a handful of other ones that a selection of fine... wearable t-shirts.
Fine wearable t-shirts,
A couple of divergent things out there, a little Philly love, that sort of thing.
There's some good stuff out there, so get out to a game, get that. Watch the games this weekend, because they'll all be streamed live at mlulive.com. And for those rightly complaining that there weren't enough places to find that last weekend, we are fixing it. You'll have infinite places to click to get to that game, and we'll look forward to seeing you out there. You can get me at Nick Darling on Twitter.
@DUSTWEETR, Dust Tweeter, Dust Tweet R.
or both of us at Cleats Cufflinks. Thanks for joining us today, and that's all the time we have.